at the time, I was surprised it went viral. I didn't think much would come of it. I wasn't expecting anything to come of it. But obviously, since then, a year on, and you know, lots of people have spoken to me, and I've had lots of really, really positive feedback on it. And so now I kind of understand that it's almost like a part of history now. So yeah, I get it now, but at the time I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it is a part of history because amidst all the protests and the anger, and understandable anger, it is a sign of unity. Well, maybe not on behalf of the fellow you were carrying, but a sign of unity from you, which I think, I mean, says more than 1,000 words, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if it had been a black guy carrying a black guy or a white guy carrying a white guy, it wouldn't have had, you know, the same sentiment. But the fact that it's a black guy carrying a white guy and then we're both there on the day for opposing reasons, I think that sort of says it all, and that's why the picture is so powerful.
Where are we 12 months on, do you think? Because, I mean, certainly the fact that the killing of George Floyd caused this global tidal wave, actually. Were you surprised at the time of the impact it had here in the UK, and what sort of legacy has it left us?
I wasn't surprised. It's probably one of the most harrowing things I've ever seen on TV, live. I have it up there with... I don't know, with Grenfell, with the 9/11, of things that I've actually seen on TV that that, you know, that I wouldn't want to ever see again. So it didn't surprise me. In terms of what the impact it would have had in our country over here, I mean, listen, there's lots of political posturing and flag waving and nice sentiment, but on the ground, what has really changed? You know, are our children still being excluded at an alarming rate in state schools? Yes, they are. Is there a huge disparity when it comes to the criminal justice system and black people? Yes, there is. You know, are we being sectioned and more of a, you know, at a higher rate than our white counterparts when it comes to mental health? Yes, we are. So there isn't anything that's had happened tangible that I can point to. But the positive thing is that the conversations are being had. We are talking about it. The uncomfortable conversations, you know, the thought-provoking conversations are being had. And I guess black people are no longer feel they have to dumb themselves down in their corporate spaces. That's a positive.
I mean, is that a real thing? Because a lot of... I mean, I was saying to someone earlier, to David Lammy, actually, earlier on, one of the big things for me is, as a white person, it's like I didn't know this was happening. I didn't know it was going on. I didn't think I was blind to it. But it just wasn't happening within my vision. And how important is it then that we are made aware of what is happening in our society?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, like I mention it in my book a lot, you know, Everyone Versus Racism, A Letter to My Children. And I feel like we have to come together as a society. It's totally understandable that if it's not sort of happening to you, then you kind of don't really, I don't know, you don't sort of see, you don't understand it. But for me, now as a society, now that we all know it's happening, now that we see what's going on, we have to come together as a collective, unified to make this change happen. Because, you know, racism isn't a black person's problem. Ultimately, it's not. So then why are we left to try and figure it out for ourselves? That's not right. You know, and if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. And I've always thought that.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the problem here with why we maybe haven't seen anything happen in the last 12 months, particularly, is that a lot of this is systemic, and it's about, you know, the sort of socio-economic struggle, to put it in those terms. I mean, these are fundamental problems that are going to take a long time to sort out, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You know, when I was growing up, everything was overt. It was in your face. Now it's very, very covert. It's very, very... It's systemic. It's the unconscious bias. That's what we have to deal with now. And that is going to take a long time. It's woven in the fabric of our society. And it's going to take some time to change things. But, you know, we have to start now. We have to start now so that, you know, my great-grandchildren and my grandchildren, you know, have that that level playing field that I'm always talking about.
You talk about things not being overt, and it's a lot different from how it was 30, 40 years ago. The problem is when voices like yours come forward, it does trigger some of those more overt racism. I mean, we have seen a bit of an increase in that, haven't we? I mean, online and what have you.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, when I say overt, I mean more like on TV and individuals, you know, using the P word or the N word. You know, I used to hear that almost every day.